My background, I'm a marketplace guy. I'm a business guy. I've been in business for many years in Kelowna, owned a full-service marketing agency and a sports marketing agency. Hey, Gary. sorry, I got distracted by Gary. Where was I? I feel like walking over and giving you a hug, man. I haven't seen you in a long time. But I've always believed that ministry is an attitude. It's not a position. And every single one of us are called to full-time ministry. Jesus didn't call any of us to give him part of our life, did he? When he called each one of us, he said, give me your whole life. But for whatever reason, we tend to think, well, people who are in full-time ministry are pastors or youth leaders or evangelists or whatever. But you know what? Each one of us is called to follow Jesus with all of our lives, full-time, to be in full-time ministry. So I always considered my work in the business community as a full-time ministry. And about 10 years ago, I began to work with men, and we launched a ministry called Band of Brothers Canada. We were doing boot camps for men. Well, we still are doing boot camps for men. It's been almost 10 years now. And then I began to step out more through my personal men's ministry called Wholehearted Men. So we're actually going to be launching a Wholehearted Men's Seminar in October for the city of Kelowna. So you'll hear more about that, men, if you'd like to be part of that. It's a five-week series that we're doing. And then we've got another Band of Brothers boot camp, and it's a boot camp of the heart. It's not a physical boot camp, so I know sometimes you think, oh, physical boot camp, what are we going to do, climb trees with our fingernails? No, it's a boot camp of the heart that we might connect with Jesus in a way that enables us to step into the battle of life and walk with him in a way that we're experiencing all the life he has for us. So we've got that coming up in November. So we'll let your new pastor know about that. So men, if you'd like to join us, that would be awesome. So before I start this morning, I want to tell you a little story about the little kids this morning were awesome. My sons now are 20 and 19. They're both bigger than I am, and we've kind of quit doing the wrestling thing because they thump me significantly. But to see these younger kids up here this morning, it reminded me of a story. A little boy named Billy in art class. It's grade 2. He's in the back of the art class, and they're drawing. And he's drawing away and drawing. And the teacher looks and goes, wow, Billy is passionate about whatever he's drawing about. So she comes back to Billy, and she says, Billy, what are you drawing? And he says, I'm drawing a picture of God. And she says, well, Billy, nobody knows what God looks like. And Billy puts his pencil down, looks up at her, and says, they will when I'm done. So this morning, I want to help paint a picture of God for you, that somehow you would be able to see him a little more clearly this morning, and therefore be able to walk with him a little more nearly and love him a little more dearly as well. So let me just ask for his help to do that, because I need a lot of help. So Father, we thank you that you love these people. And you want them to know you in a way that they are head over heels in love with you. So, Father, I ask you to help me this morning to communicate your truth, that we might know you and know your heart in a way that is profound. And ultimately, we would leave here this morning being closer to you, loving you in a way that transforms us, that we might truly live as beloved children of our Heavenly Father, full of the Holy Spirit, walking with Jesus in the full devotion of our hearts, wholeheartedly. We love you, Lord. Would you help me this morning to communicate? In your name, Jesus. Amen. So my topic this morning, as you see, is, Lord, I want a roadmap. I first sort of fell in love with maps when I was, I don't know, maybe 9 years old. My brother is 10 years older than me. He was 19 at the time. Maybe he was 20 by this point in time. But my brother took a year out of university and he traveled around the world. And on his wall in his bedroom was a map of the world. And he put pins in it wherever place he'd been, and then he'd string thread between the pins. And I remember as a little boy looking up at this map and going, that's the world. And he's been around it. What that signifies is mind-blowing. Billions and billions of people speaking innumerable languages, interacting all over the place. And he had these strings all over the world. And I thought, wow, one day I want to be able to travel around the world. I want to be able to have a map on my wall that says where I've been. And that sort of birthed in me a love of maps. Any other map lovers in here? Guys tend to be... Okay, well, let's see those hands. How many of us are guys versus gals? Okay, there's some gals as well, but a lot of guys are map guys. We like road maps. How many of you guys have the Backroads map book? Isn't this the killer map book? This is so awesome. Gunner, you got to have the Backroads map book. Absolutely. So a road map, now this isn't out of the Backroads map book, but a road map shows you where you're going, right? We want to know what's going on. So as guys, we open up our map book, whether we want to go backcountry, find some hidden fishing lake, or go sledding or whatever. You open up your map and you want to figure out, here's where I am. Here's where I want to get to. Here's what I'm going to pass when I get there. Here's what I'm going to experience. And whether it's your Backroads map book or... How many of you still have these? These are kind of antiquated now, right? You got this. How many of you have been driving? You lay it on the steering wheel. You're trying to figure out. You're saying, honey, honey, look, there's... You throw the map away so you don't drive off the road. But we don't see maps very much anymore, do we? But what I loved about these maps is you can get a good idea. Okay, I'm going to Victoria. Where am I? I'm up in Saanich. Okay, I need to take Highway 17. I take the third exit. And you see what you're going to pass on the way. You've got an idea how long it's going to take. You can see how far it is, right? So you calculate and you go, okay, if I go 10% above the speed limit, how many people do that? 10% above the speed limit, that's just standard. If the speed limit is 110, you do 120 or a little less, you know you're going to be okay. So if I go 10% above the speed limit, it's going to take me 6 hours to get there, but we're going to pass this little lake probably in an hour. So why don't we pull over? We'll have a little lunch there. Isn't it a great way to do life? You know where you are. You know where you're going to go. You know how long it's going to take. You know what you're going to see along the way. Wouldn't it be great if God gave us one of these for our life? A roadmap that says, Lee, you are here. In 2 weeks, you're going to be here. And here's what you're going to pass over the next 2 weeks. So get ready for it. But God doesn't really do that. We don't really get a roadmap. You know what God uses? A GPS. We laugh. But it's true. I want to tell you, when I first discovered GPSs. Okay, how many of you have a GPS? How many of you have never heard of a GPS in your life? So we've all basically heard of GPS. I don't know how many years ago it was for me. 5 years ago or something, I was in San Francisco on business. I arrived in the airport. I rent the car. I'm going to get a map of where I need to get to. And the guy says, do you want a GPS? Oh, I've heard of those things. I don't really know how to work them. What do you do? He said, oh, it's easy. You just type in your destination. And I'm not going to do it here, but they look like, oh, my battery's dead. There you go. Tom-toms make that little drum sound when you start them up. So you just type in your destination, where you want to get to, and say start. And this sort of big map shows up, but then you hit the button to start it, and then it drops down into the instructions, the GPS, and your screen looks like this. And the thing with a GPS is, when I first looked at this in San Francisco, I'm looking at it going, I don't see the big picture. I don't have an idea. What am I going to pass on the way? All I get is one step at a time. I want to see the big picture. I don't like GPSs. I want the big picture to see how long it's going to take, what am I going to pass, and all that stuff. But I thought, I'm going to try this GPS. So I enter in my destination, hit the start button. And what comes up on the screen is, turn right 200 meters. Well, what do I do after that? It doesn't talk back. Well, what do I do after the 200 meters? Where do I go from there? I need to know more information, right? I want to see the bigger picture. What comes next? Turn right 200 meters. So figured, okay, I'm going to trust the GPS. I'm going to follow this instruction. So I go turn right 200 meters. Then the next one comes up. Turn left 2 kilometers. Well, what comes after that? I want to know what comes after that. I don't just want one step at a time. Turn left 2 kilometers. So I did. I followed the GPS step by step by step by step. And you know where I ended up? At my hotel. I couldn't believe it. One step at a time. And you know what I realized? All the stress of trying to figure it all out was gone. When I learned to trust the GPS, the stress was gone. And if I make a mistake, what does the GPS do? Anybody know the word? Recalculating. Okay, you've screwed up. I think somebody should create an abusive GPS in a Scottish accent. What do you think you're doing? I told you to turn right. You went left. Great. But they don't have those yet. So you make a mistake and the GPS recalculates and said, okay, we can get over this. Turn left 200 meters and we'll get you out of this thing. And all the stress of having to figure this all out was gone. And I got hooked. The last time I looked at a map, I can't even remember. I'm born again. I have changed the way I'm living now, and I'm Captain GPS. I just pop it into my GPS, and I trust the GPS to get me. The stress is gone, one step at a time, and I get where I'm going to get to. That is a great lesson for us, how God leads us. I want to show you a couple scriptures. GPS stands for Godly Purposeful Steps. That's how we're called to live. Whenever you fire up that GPS, just think, okay, this stands for Godly Purposeful Steps. This is a metaphor for how I'm called to walk with Jesus. So, Randy Rode actually sent me a devotional he did in regard to your new pastor coming. And it was when Samuel is anointing David king over Israel. And in this chapter, Samuel has been called by God to go anoint David as king. And the topic typically of this chapter is God doesn't look at the outward appearance, he looks at the heart. And when I read this scripture, when Randy sent it to me, this is what stood out to me. So the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul since I've rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I've chosen one of his sons to be king. But Samuel said, how can I go if Saul hears about it? He's going to kill me. The Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. What's God just said to Samuel? Turn left 200 meters. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. You need to step out in obedience and faith that first step. Go to worship, and I'll show you what to do. Interesting. Genesis 12, Abraham. The whole thing's getting started with Abraham, and God says to Abraham, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. Did the Lord say to Abraham, okay, Abraham, here's how it's going to work. So I want you to leave and follow me, and you're going to be roaming a number of years in the desert, but you're going to learn to walk with me, you're going to learn to trust me. And when you get there, I'm going to speak to you about your wife who's going to have a son. But you're really not going to believe that, and you're going to struggle with it, and then you're going to mess up with Hagar, and that's going to give birth to Ishmael. But you know what? It's okay. I'm going to make up for that. Your son's going to be born, and he's going to be the beginning of the whole house of Israel. So don't lose faith, because that's exactly how things are going to work. No, he didn't do that. Turn left 200 meters. Go to the land I will show you. Saul, Acts chapter 9. You know Saul, Pharisee, persecutor of the church. He's killing Christians. Jesus appears to him on the road, blinds him. Saul falls to the ground wondering what's going on. And he says, who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. Now get up and go into the city. You will be told what you must do. Now, did Jesus say, here's what's going to happen. You're going to go into the city. You're going to be blind. Don't worry about it. Those are going to fall off like scales once you get in the city. I'm going to speak to another guy who's a man of faith who's going to come, even though he's afraid, but he's going to believe. And he's going to come. He's going to pray for you. And the scales are going to fall off and you're going to see. And then what's going to happen is you're going to start to preach about Jesus for a little bit, but then you're going to go away for 17 years. And I'm going to train you really what it means to be a follower of Jesus and to be a spokesman for me. And you're going to take my message to the Gentiles and you're going to totally change the Jewish faith. Because we're going to open it up to all the Gentiles. No. He said, turn left 200 meters. And then I'll show you. This is one of my favorite prayers, Psalm 32, verse 8. Where the Lord promises, he says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. In other words, what he's saying is, trust me to lead you. Godly, purposeful steps. You can trust me. My loving eye is upon you. I'll lead you and guide you in the way that you should go. I'll counsel you and watch over you. But the way I do it is a step at a time. Turn left 200 meters. But Lord, I want a road map. I want to see the big picture. I can't trust you unless I see where this is going. Turn left 200 meters. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. I'll counsel you. And I'll watch over you. My loving eye is upon you. You can trust in my great goodness and my good greatness. There's five critical decisions we've got to make to follow the Lord's GPS. And we'll finish with these five. This is how we must then live to walk with God, following his godly, purposeful steps. Number one, we have to choose humility. There's no way we can walk with Jesus without humility. The door to life for all of us is humility. And it's so low, you've got to bow down to get through it. Because we got to believe that he knows more than we do. We can trust him. He's God and we're not. It's like one of those little kids who was here this morning, the little toddler saying, that's okay, Mommy. I know what to do. You leave me. I can do it. Well, it's ludicrous, right? But we do that all the time. Lord, I'm just going to do what I think is the right thing to do. You need to follow my GPS. You need to choose humility. Say, Lord, you know. I don't. Any abilities or strengths I have, Lord, you've given them to me. So the first critical decision we've got to make is to humble ourselves. Scripture tells us God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It's your door to life. Second is surrender. We've got to choose to surrender. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. This life isn't about you. It's about him. So Lord, how do I surrender my life? To walk with you in your GPS, to discover where you're leading me, what you have for us to do together. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. It's us being willing to crucify my plans, crucify my expectations, crucify my hopes and dreams, knowing that God's GPS is going to lead me into the life that I was created for. Humility. Surrender, repentance. And repentance is simply, I'm walking this way, Lord. I want to walk with you. Stop doing our own thing. I'm going to do what I think is right. This is what we need to do. Turn around and say, Lord, I'm going to walk with you. Repentance is a divine do-over. It's a miraculous mulligan. Take it again. Lord says, start again. It's a spiritual start over. Every day, regularly, we're called to a life of repentance. Fourth is trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. In the New McLean version, that's follow my GPS. I'll get you where I want you to go. Don't rely on your own map, figuring out you know what to do. Trust me to lead you. Godly, purposeful steps. And the last is obedience. We've got to obey. If we say, oh, I trust God, but we're not obeying Him and following Him, we're really not trusting Him. We need to choose to obey. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. God has life for us. Jesus came and He said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. But we won't get a roadmap. We'll get a GPS, one step at a time. Godly, purposeful steps, walking with Him, trusting He knows where He's leading us. Choosing humility, surrender, repentance, trusting Him, and obeying. And when we do that, we will be overwhelmed by how and where He leads us. The life that we discover that we never thought possible. The freedom, the hope, the strength, the courage, the joy in the midst of difficulties. Doesn't say, I'm going to make it all easy. Doesn't say this is going to be a cakewalk. But He says, we'll be in this together. And that's a whole lot better than trying to go it alone and figure it out on your own roadmap. So my encouragement to you today is to walk with God, following His GPS, godly, purposeful steps. Embracing humility, surrender, repentance, trust, and obedience. We can trust in His great goodness and His good greatness. He delights in us. Let me pray for us. Father, we love You because You first loved us. Lord, thank You that You delight in us. You sing songs of love over us, Your word says. Lord, would You help us to trust You, to know that You're leading us and guiding us in the way that we should go. You're counseling us and watching over us with Your loving eye. Lord, would You help each one of us to surrender our need for the map. To surrender our need to know what's going on, what this looks like, what You're up to. And to surrender to You and say, Father, we trust You. We love You. Would You forgive my pride to think I know better than You? And Lord, help us to walk with You one step at a time, loving You and receiving Your love for us. Would You bless this church, Lord? Would You bless these people? Would You bless their new pastor? Would they know as a body, as a people, as a church, how to walk step at a time with You in godly, purposeful steps, not demanding to see the map and the strategic plan, but saying, Jesus, work in us and through us. We want to be a people who are known for humility, surrender, repentance, trust, and obedience. And oh, the places we will go. We love You, Lord. In Your name, amen.